Welcome into the Deep Plant Podcast, presented by Xfinity. Count on a powerful and secure Wi-Fi connection for all your devices. Xfinity XFi, can your internet do that? All right, let's get right into the Deep Plant Podcast. It's been a minute since I've interviewed anyone, but, you know, we've had the draft. Free agency still rolls on. Rookie minicamp got our first look at some of the rookies out there on the field. And I wanted to know, what are people saying about the Houston Texans outside of Houston? Obviously, we are all very excited about the draft picks and some of the free agent signings. But I wanted to get the insights of Sam Monson. He's the lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. What he thinks about some of these signings. He had a lot of positive feedback regarding some of the Texans draft picks. So wanted to get into his thoughts, as well as Bobby Slowick, a guy that he knew personally. Slowick, of course, is the Texans offensive coordinator. He used to work at Pro Football Focus at PFF as an analyst. So he came from the defensive side of the ball, did some work with PFF, and now he's back into coaching, and now he's a Texans OC. So wanted to get some insight on him, as well as the free agent signings that the Texans had this offseason. And then we're going to talk about what Sam thinks is going to happen in the AFC South come December, because there's a lot of changes at the quarterback position, a few at the head coaching position. So what's going to happen in the AFC South? We're going to get into all of that. But first, Xfinity delivers the fastest internet in Houston so you can do more of what you love. Stream the game on a powerful and secure Wi-Fi network and keep your home team happy with a reliable connection for all your devices. Xfinity XFi. Can your internet do that? All right, let's get right into it on the Deep Slant Podcast presented by Xfinity. Joining me this week, Sam Monson, lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. He's also the host of the PFF NFL podcast. Sam, it's been a busy offseason for the Texans, so welcome in. Cannot wait to talk some Texans with you.
Thanks for having me.
So let's just talk about the offseason. The draft is in the books. What are your early impressions of what the Texans have done this offseason? Obviously, they hired new head coach DeMeco Ryans, but everything from free agency to the draft. What have you thought about what they've done to sort of make the team better for 2023?
Yeah, it's been an interesting offseason. I think it was always going to be, you know, a fascinating year for them, because it's really the first year that we're going to see what the plan was in this post Deshaun Watson landscape, where they finally get to deploy some of the resources that they built up with that trade. And obviously you had those two picks at the top of the draft this year. They ended up making that an even bigger splash with trading back up to get Will Anderson and all that goes with that decision. But this was the first year, I think, where we were going to get an idea of, you know, what Nick Caserio was going to do to build this roster. The last couple of years have felt a lot like just sort of treading water, you know, and turning over the roster and kind of looking at the bottom 20, 30 roster spots, but not really having the focus of being able to really move this thing forward in a significant way. I think this was the first glimpse of what that was going to look like.
Yeah, let's look at the draft, because obviously number two overall pick, nobody knew what the Texans were going to do until right before it happened, and they take quarterback CJ Stroud. What do you think would be a successful campaign for Stroud? Let's just assume he starts some games, see some action. Obviously, no starters in the offseason named just yet, but, you know, not just for the team as a whole, but what would you consider a successful campaign for Stroud?
Yeah, I mean, really, I think just showing that he can be that quarterback of the future. It's always going to be tough when you see these guys year one. Generally speaking, rookie quarterbacks don't thrive. You know, they're going to struggle to some degree in their first year. That the critical thing is, do you see hope? Do you see signs that he can be the guy going forwards and give you the confidence to build around him and the confidence that you made the right selection? So, you know, I don't expect CJ Stroud to be a Pro Bowler from day one, but he is coming in with some interesting, I don't want to say red flags, but concerns, potential concerns. So I think he's got to show that he can overcome that in the NFL, that he is just a good football player, whatever, you know, an S2 cognition score shows or whatever he showed last year under pressure outside of that, you know, Georgia game in the college football playoffs that was outstanding. So I think if he can show year one that that's not a problem or it doesn't look like a big problem, that's a huge win for him.
All right. How do you envision offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, a guy that worked at PFF that, you know, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but Bobby Slowick, just how he can use Stroud's skill set and really showcase his strengths. How do you sort of see that going?
Yeah, well, obviously Bobby is coming over from that Kyle Shanahan coaching tree, you know, that offensive system that's been really dominating the league the last few years, whether it's with Kyle Shanahan, whether it's with Mike McDaniel in Miami last season, which is arguably even better than Shanahan's version as long as Tua was healthy. Presumably we're going to see a version of that now with Bobby Slowick in Houston. And I think it's a great system for CJ Stroud to end up in because it really specializes in getting number one open, you know, getting the primary target as open as possible on any given play. It's so good at meshing the run game and the pass game and being able to exploit what that creates off the back end with play action. And, you know, that's part of why it's a sort of cheat code for all of these quarterbacks to put up these crazy numbers in that system, because their primary read is open most of the time, and it's open for a good play. It's open for a big impactful moving of the chains if they're able to just read the defense, go where he's supposed to, and deliver the ball accurately. So I think it's a fantastic system for CJ Stroud to end up in. And yeah, I'm excited to see what Bobby can do as a play caller, as an offensive coordinator at the NFL level.
Yeah, you talked about Bobby Slowick. We were chatting a little bit before this interview about how you guys overlapped. And when Bobby Slowick did his first press conference with Texans, with the local media as the Texans OC, he talked about how it was an unusual path for a coach, but how he sees the game differently because of his time at PFF. What can you share with us about just your personal experience in getting to know Slowick?
Yeah, and he also sort of came from the defensive side of the ball. When Bobby was working at PFF, right, you know, his previous NFL experience had been working with linebackers, been working on the defensive side of things, and then he's now sort of obviously transitioned fully to being an offensive coordinator. But so he's seen this very well-rounded picture of the game, from breaking down defenses, from identifying coverages to, you know, going through. I mean, part of what we do at PFF is this every single play, the sheer breadth of tape you consume from doing all of the data collection, from doing all the grading, is crazy. And, you know, there was a few year period where Bobby will have seen as much tape of NFL defenses in particular and coverages as anybody on the planet. And he brought that NFL experience, that NFL knowledge to the table at PFF, and was a big part of our weekly calls as senior analysts, where we would get together and kind of review the most difficult plays to kind of work out and to evaluate where things broke down, who was to blame, and all these kinds of things. So he really has a very, very unusual background that really nobody else in the NFL has from that side of things. So I think that does give him, you know, a valuable and unique perspective that probably does help him understand how to attack defenses in a different way to a lot of other coordinators.
All right, switching gears and talking a little about Texans defense, where you've tempered your expectations of rookie quarterbacks. I feel like we've sort of gone the opposite when it comes to Will Anderson, the Texans' number three overall pick. A lot of people have projected, you included, that Will Anderson Jr. will probably be defensive rookie of the year, based on what you expect his production and snap count to be. So tell me, what are your expectations of Will Anderson?
Yeah, I mean, I think he can hit the ground running. I think he can be a really good edge rusher right away at the NFL level. He maybe isn't quite at the level of, you know, the Bosa brothers, of Myles Garrett, as those sort of truly can't miss elite edge rusher prospects coming into the NFL, but he was a tick below that. And I don't think that Alabama's defense necessarily put him in the best position to sort of personally accumulate numbers the way some of these other edge rushers, you know, get the opportunity to do when they're the dominant force in college. Like, he had to fit within the scheme a little bit more. He was used a lot on sort of stunts and all these kinds of things. And I think there's potentially more in the tank than we saw at Alabama. But he's good at everything. You know, he defends the run well. He's a good pass rusher. He's got a pretty wide variety of moves. There's very little that he doesn't do well. And I would imagine he will be, you know, an every down player for Houston, or see the majority of the snaps, at which point, you know, you have to look at him as the favorite for rookie of the year, because he's probably going to put up decent numbers. He'll be a big contributor to that defense and, you know, should be able to have success pretty much right away, given how good he is right now.
One player that got a really great reaction, really positive reaction in Houston was the Texans' third round pick, Tank Dell, the wide receiver out of Houston. You also really loved that pick. You had him ranked really high heading into the draft. So I know you had said he was always open in college. He's always going to be open in the NFL too. So if you could call the shot, Sam, where would you line up Dell on the field?
Yeah, I love Tank Dell. I think he can play all over the field. You hear a lot about Bryce Young, you know, and if he was just 6'2", 220 pounds, we would be talking about him as the next Trevor Lawrence, you know, the next sort of generational talent. If Tank Dell weighed even 185 pounds, we would be saying this is a first round talent. This guy is one of the best wide receivers in this draft, if not the best, but he's 165 pounds, which is just scary, right? There's just so little precedent for a guy that size having any kind of success at the next level, but it's getting easier for that to be a real thing. It's getting easier for guys with that kind of size to have success in the NFL because you can keep them away from that kind of physical contact. They don't have to go up one-on-one against these 210-pound physical corners all the time. You can move them around. So I think the first thing for Houston is going to be identifying how much of a problem that is, you know, and if we line him up as an X receiver in press coverage against the 200-pound corner, is he going to get erased? Is he done? Or does he have the quickness and the footwork and those things that he showed at the Senior Bowl and you know, in his college tape as well? Does he have the chops to still beat those guys in the NFL level? And it doesn't matter that he's 165 pounds. So I think that's what training camp is going to be a big part of, and preseason as well, is sort of identifying, you know, how much of his deficiencies, I guess, are going to show up and whether they can hide it. But if it is, even if it's a huge problem, you know, and he can't do that, then I think you move him into the slot and you protect him from press coverage with, you know, stacked alignments at the line of scrimmage, with lining him up as a slot guy or as a flanker off the line, and just let him dominate with that quickness and the footwork. And you know, he's got really good ball skills as well for a guy that size, and really shows up deep down the field.
I guess I could ask you the same question about Xavier Hutchinson, wide receiver drafted in the sixth round for the Texans. He went from JUCO to Iowa State, says he plays with a chip on his shoulder. What are some of his strengths in his skill set as a receiver?
Yeah, obviously a much bigger player than Tank Dell. I think a guy that's just extremely smooth, very good, well-rounded, doesn't have an awful lot of weaknesses in terms of his tape, in terms of what he does well. I guess the only real sort of question mark for him is, does he have the true sort of physical athletic traits that you would like to see for, you know, a true impact player? Like, does he have the ability to dominate these guys physically at the NFL level the way he could at Iowa State? So I think he's a sneaky, you know, really nice addition as a day three guy to come in and certainly be a significant part of that receiving core, even if he doesn't necessarily have the capacity to be, you know, the number one guy there.
Are the Texans been looking to improve their offensive line? They've obviously locked up Laremy Tunsil for the foreseeable future, and they've got Titus Howard playing right tackle. But fans are really happy to see a center drafted. So Texans picked up Juice Scruggs with the second round pick. He's got the potential to earn that starting spot at center. What are your thoughts on him, as well as Shaq Mason, who's a veteran that the Texans signed for the guard spot, who played games for Tampa Bay, had a career with the New England Patriots? What have you thought about just the O-line and how it's been fortified this offseason?
Yeah, I love Shaq Mason, and have, dating back to his college days. He played in a Georgia Tech triple option, you know, back when they were running that. And he spent most of his time in a four-point stance, not even a three-point stance, you know, with the one hand in the ground ready to fire off. Like, he was lining up with both hands in the dirt, just literally firing towards defensive linemen like they were a blocking sled, you know, and just absolutely destroying these guys. And his grading was incredibly good in college, his PFF grading. And we sort of liked him from anyone that had watched his tape, but because Georgia Tech barely passed the ball, you were always like, I don't know how high you can draft a guy like that who basically has never pass protected before. But he's actually been a solid pass blocking guard at the NFL level and is still a really good run blocker. And even last year, which was a bit of a down year for him, he was still good. So I think that's a significant upgrade for Houston and a really nice addition. Juice Scruggs is intriguing. You know, not the center that we would have drafted, I think, based off the college grading at that point in the draft, but absolutely a player that can come in and be a starter for them and potentially, you know, become a better NFL player than he has been so far in his career. And overall, I think that focus on the offensive line is a really positive thing for Houston, and make sure that that group does improve and moves in the right direction with Stroud there as the new quarterback.
All right. Can you give me a player that you're most excited to see in a Texans uniform that was not in a Texans uniform last year, either draft pick or free agent signing that you're really excited to see this year?
Yeah. I mean, I think the one that I'm most excited for is really Tank Dell. I love that guy's tape. I think I had him ranked fourth in terms of all the receivers in this draft class. And, you know, maybe undersold him, you know, maybe he didn't do him the service just because I'm so scared of that 165 pounds, but we're seeing those guys. You know, Devontae Smith is 166 pounds and is a really good wide receiver right now. So if Tank Dell continues in the NFL the way he left off in college, whether it was at Houston or whether it was at the Senior Bowl, you know, he can be a dominant force for this team, and I'm excited to see it happen.
All right. On the flip side, a current Texans player who you think should make a leap in 2023 that you're excited to see out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the cornerback spot, you know, and second year of Derek Stingley, he was right up there with Sauce Gardner in terms of prospect at corner coming into the NFL. One of the best prospects we've seen come into the league over the last few years. And it didn't really happen year one for him. Certainly not compared with Gardner, who looked like the best corner in the league basically from day one. But when you looked at Stingley's tape, he was in good coverage for a lot of those plays. You know, it's not like he was getting torched left, right, and center. It's not like he was getting destroyed. He was in tight coverage most of the time and sometimes just missed out at the catch point, or, you know, the play was made anyway. But I think he showed enough that you say with a year of development or even just a bit of luck bouncing his way in year two as opposed to against him in year one, like he could take a big leap in a hurry. I think he's got all the traits. He's got all the tools to be a really good corner. So I'm excited to see if Stingley can take a big step in year two.
All right, Sam, before I let you go, what are your thoughts on the AFC South? I mean, three teams drafting a quarterback high up in the draft. I mean, what are you expecting in December?
Yeah, it's going to be wild. A really young division in terms of those starting quarterbacks. And I think it's a division that's completely up for grabs. You know, obviously Jacksonville is probably the favorite now because their young quarterback has already made those steps forward and start, you know, was looking at the end of last year to be one of those top tier quarterbacks. Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville, I think now has the receivers to work with as well, and an improved offensive line. So you would assume the Jags are favorites, but any of the remaining three teams, if they're able to hit the ground running with their young quarterback, or if, you know, the Titans continue with Tannehill and keep things around him a little bit in year one, they could easily challenge for this division. I think it's going to be one of the more kind of low-key, interesting divisions in the league.
Sam, appreciate the time and the insight. Sam Monson, lead NFL analyst for Pro Football Focus. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Great insight from Sam. And of course, the NFL schedule is out. The Texans will be opening up in Baltimore, and then they will return for week two here at home. You can check out single game tickets. They are on sale. Just go to HoustonTexans.com/tickets. That's going to do it for the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, go Texans.